إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, in our series on Shukr, I want to remind myself and you of the need to make Shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the permission to make dua, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He listens to dua and that He accepts dua. Now imagine the whole issue of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thing which distinguishes Islam from everything else. There is no other religion in the world which claims for itself that the God they worship actually answers them, that the God they worship actually listens to them and answers them. Nobody even makes this claim for themselves. Whereas in Islam, we don't make this claim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. If we make a claim, the claim may be right, it may be wrong, because we don't know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ask me, make dua to me, and I will accept your dua. Dua is ibadah. الدعاء مخ العبادة. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that dua is the brain of ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah. Dua is ibadah. And therefore, it is haram to make dua to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is haram. It is totally haram to make dua to anyone other than Allah. Because dua is ibadah. And when we said la ilaha illallah, we said that we do not worship anyone other than Allah. There is no one worthy of worship other than Allah. And dua is worship. And therefore, to make dua to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not permissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the middle of the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah relating to Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the issue of dua. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slave asks about me, I am near to him. I am very near to him. Let him ask me and I will give him. Let him ask me and I will give him. And let him obey me and let him follow me, so that he may be rightly guided. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned dua as something as important, because in the month of Ramadan, the whole issue of why Ramadan, it is to increase our taqwa. And then what happens when our taqwa is increased? What happens when our sense of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increased? What happens when we have a greater concern for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not displeasing Him? Is that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Him for forgiveness, and this is dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there are three kinds of du'as. He said one which is accepted and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives whatever is asked. There's another one which is accepted and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give what is asked. But instead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the calamity that was to befall the person as a result of his du'a. So the calamity is removed, but the du'a that he asked for, the specific thing is not given to him. But because of that worship, that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the calamity. And the third kind of dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps with himself. He does not give what the slave asked, and there is no calamity in his qadr at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the dua to himself, with himself. And when the slave is presented before him on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him about this and says, ask me now and I will give you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you realize the value of that dua, then you will wish that every single dua of yours was not granted in this life, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept it with him. The beauty of dua is that irrespective of whether that dua is accepted or not, irrespective of whether that dua is accepted in this dunya, or whether that dua is the result of the removal of any calamity, it is ibadah in itself. And therefore, there is a reward for asking dua. quite apart from the fact that, see, that, how much we have to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the ones asking and Allah is rewarding us for asking. Ajeeb. So, irrespective of whether this dua is accepted and I got what I wanted or I didn't get what I wanted and so on and so forth, irrespective of all of that, just making dua itself is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what reward He gives. And therefore, it is dua itself is something that we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, that Allah made it possible for us to make dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made dua into ibadah. And therefore, let us not contaminate our dua and let us not ask this one and that one. Ask only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ask with the total yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. It is one of the conditions of dua that we ask this dua with yaqeen. Not with some, you know, maybe it will happen, maybe it will not happen, this reason, that reason. No. Ask with complete and total yaqeen that what I asked, Allah will give, inshallah, because only Allah can give. So say, oh Allah, give me because only You can give. Forgive me because only You can forgive. La yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. There is no one who can forgive sins except You. So I am asking You to forgive me. So forgive me because only You can forgive. It is the nature of the relationship between the slave and his master that he asks dua in ways which are true to him, between him and his master. It's just the way, if you listen to the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way he used to make dua, you can see the closeness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the words of his dua. Because only someone who is that close to Allah can ask things like this and can ask in ways like that. Now the way of making dua is to glorify Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Is to glorify Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala by His names and by His sifat. And then to send salat and salam on Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then to ask whatever you want to ask. And then once again to send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the dua which is bracketed with salat and salam on me, before it and after it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reject this dua. This dua goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore it is very important. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make your dua, send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again, and then we finish with that, and we ask Allah to accept this dua, inshallah. When we ask dua, we speak about our powerlessness, and we speak about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we make dua with your sight set firmly on the qudrat of Allah. Not on rules and regulations and this and that and this, majburi and that majburi. No. Ask Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not majboor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mukhtar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can do anything, all that we can imagine and all that we cannot imagine. And therefore, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with His majesty and grace. Don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with our own fears and our own, weaknesses and so on. No, this is not, none of that applies to Allah. The laws of the world do not apply to Allah. The rules of medicine and science and technology do not apply to Allah. Rules and regulations do not apply to Allah, because Allah is the maker of all these things. Allah is the one who made the laws of physics. The law of gravity does not apply to Allah. The laws of physics and chemistry do not apply to Allah, because Allah made them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created those laws of physics and chemistry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not bound by those laws. People who have no intelligence. Somebody asked me a question. Stephen Hawking asked this question. Stephen Hawking said, the laws of physics are there. The laws of nature are all set. Why do we need God? I said, what a tragedy. A man who the world considers to be probably the most intelligent man on the face of the planet today cannot understand something as simple as this. And that simple thing is, that he has to understand who made those laws of nature. He says the laws of nature are there. Are there means what? How did they come about? He says the laws of nature are there. Why do we need God? I say, without God, how did the laws of nature come into being? Laws of nature are there means what? This is ajeev. I tell you, this is the result of not understanding your Rabb. Result of not recognizing Allah. Is your brain, you know, as the Arab says, mafi mukh, there's no brains. The brain has no value, because the brain does not lead you to the truth. And the truth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, what do we say? Do we deny the laws of nature? Of course not. We do not deny the laws of nature. We recognize where those laws of nature come from. So we operate within the laws of nature, but when we have to ask dua, we ask the one who created those laws of nature. The law of nature is a makhluk. It does not control us. The Khaliq controls us. The law of nature is that fire burns. But only when the Khaliq of the fire permits it to burn. And when the Khaliq of the fire said with respect to his Khalil, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim, the same fire did not cool down, but it did not harm Ibrahim alayhi salam. The fire was hot for everybody else. The nature of the fire didn't change. But for Ibrahim alayhi salam, that fire was harmless. Not only was it harmless, but it protected Ibrahim alayhi salam. It became a source of safety for him, source of salama for him. Why? Because the creator of that law told that law what is to be done in this particular case. This is our yaqeen, this is our iman, this is from the kalam of Allah. I am not narrating to you a story in mythology. I am not telling you a story that I thought about last night. No, this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone wants to deny the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma fi mushkila. Deny. Faman sha'a falyumin, faman sha'a falyakfur. No problem. It's not my kalam. Want to deny, deny, no problem. The day you have to face the one whose kalam it is, you talk to him. Not my problem. So when we ask the creator of all of this. But does it mean that I will now go and put my hand into the fire on the stove? No. Because the creator did not tell me to do that. So I will respect the law of nature in its place. I will not make the law of nature into the creator. No. In its place, I respect it. If I am sick, I will take some medicine. But I will not believe that this medicine can cure me, or it can harm me, or it can benefit me. No. Why do I take the medicine? Because this is also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made some illness and he made some cure for this, inshallah. So, if there is an illness and the doctor prescribes a cure, inshallah, we take it. But we take it and we make dua and we say, oh Allah, put shifa into this thing, because this thing is mud. This thing has nothing, has no value by itself. Put shifa into this. If the medicine had power in it, then everyone taking that medicine would be uniformly cured. I don't know what happens to our, we consider ourselves to be intelligent and logical and so on and so on. So apply the same law of logic. What is the law of logic? The law of logic is that if it is uniform, it should do the same thing everywhere, every time. No? Anyone who jumps, anything in the atmosphere is attracted towards the earth. Anything which is within the magnetic field of the earth, within the force of gravity, is attracted towards the earth. So if you jump, you come down. Nobody jumps and goes up. So we know this law is uniform. So if in medicine, if a particular drug is supposed to cure an illness, then it must cure the illness of everybody. But it does not. We know this. There is no need for any confusion. The cure comes from Allah. We take the medicine because that is the means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will give this cure. But in some cases, Allah gives the cure despite that. In some cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give the cure even with the medicine. And that is why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the cure. We take the medicine because this is the means and Allah has made this means halal. Alhamdulillah. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only one who can do everything. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And therefore, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for helping us to recognize this, and for giving us the power to make this dua And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our du'as. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the du'as of all the Muslims, especially when they make du'a against their enemies. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy the enemies of the Muslims, people who are harming them and people who are persecuting them and people who are killing them only and only because they say La ilaha illallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us obedient to Him and to guide us to that which is pleasing to Him. And we send salat and salam on Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.